This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
What's up, everyone? Good afternoon. My name is Tua, your host for Committing to the Process Tuesdays from 1 to 2. This is Multicultural 1600 AM, where we bring you local news and also entrepreneurs. Today, one of my guests is a good friend that I met through a business transaction. His name is Hector Cavazos. He is a professional headshot photographer, realizing that in the Hmong community and our community in Fresno here, there's a lot of photographers or beginners that are on Facebook posting pictures and want to learn about how to do photography. So I figured that, you know what, I bring on the best and pick his brain a little bit, and hopefully you're all tuned in and be able to learn something from Hector so you too can become a professional photographer someday with his knowledge. So welcome to the radio show, Hector. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Tua. How are you?
I'm doing good, and thank you again for coming on here and making time for this. Can you tell me what are you doing currently right now and your location of your business?
Well, first, let me start with by saying thank you for inviting me and allowing me to be a part of your show. I am a headshot photographer that specializes in only headshots. I am based in here in Fresno, downtown Fresno. My studio address is 1419 M Street at the M Street Art Complex. And like I mentioned, my specialty is headshots, trying to get people to look their best in the first impression manner.
Yeah, I've been in business for, let me see, a long time, and I always wanted to take a headshot photo, but, you know, being a little bit fluffy, I had a little double chin, so I never really took the initiative to go out there and get a headshot because I'm afraid of, you know, of a bad photo. And then after seeing Heck, and then last year, I believe it was October, right? Was it October?
Correct.
At the Hispanic
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce Expo. I saw Hector doing some photos, and it was amazing. I was like, wow, that guy's chin just, double chin just disappeared. So this is a guy that's going to take my photo because it just bothers me that I have this double chin for a photo. So, but he was busy. But I, for, you know, very fortunate, I went onto the Hispanic Chamber website, and I saw that he was also a member of the chamber too. So I said, you know what? I'm going to give him a call and book an appointment, and then that's what I did. And when I first went onto the website, it was so easy to book an appointment. It was so easy. Hector called back right away, and I was so amazed of his customer service that I didn't hesitate to book an appointment. And so I went to his studio, and it was even more easier the way he was showing me and taking his time to take some good shot of my my headshot. And so Hector, so let's go back a little bit back more. And before doing photography, what were you doing?
Well, I was a police officer for 21 years.
Wow.
And then I decided it was time to move on. And I've always had an interest in photography. And I switched passions, basically. Wow. I was able to use the training and the skills from being a police officer at one point to now I interact with the community, and I'm able to work with them. Uh-huh. And one of the things that I like to do is just basically it's pretty common for people to be nervous, or they say, you know, I don't take good pictures. But in reality,
that was me.
it was you.
Yeah.
And it's just about guiding the client through the process. Mm-hmm. It's just like you know, reaching out, you know, grabbing their hand, and you're walking them across the creek.
Wow.
And so by doing that, it makes it a lot easier. So they they forget that they are in front of the camera, and their true expression comes out.
Okay, so basically, it's not just the camera skill, but then you gotta have like a psychological or people skill as well too, to help them break the ice and be able to do some of the poses that will make them look great in front of the camera. Is that a big role in your skill?
Yes, it's a combination. It's the totality is basically you know, understanding that, you know, the client more than likely are going to be nervous.
Yeah.
Number one. Mm-hmm. And it's getting that client to become at ease and relax. And sometimes it's just by building that rapport. Mm-hmm. It's whether it's explaining the process or explaining this is what the steps are going to be. Once there's a clear understanding, then I usually get the sense that, okay, they're more at ease. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you don't want to surprise a client. You want to be upfront and really guide them through the process. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, it's also working with lighting, understanding lighting, and being able to look for certain things such as shadows or maybe any imperfections that you may come across. And then also with, you know, understanding the camera. So overall, it's the totality of all the things that I just mentioned. You know, having a customer at ease, working with the lighting, and also understanding the settings of the camera.
Yeah, as a beginner, our first mindset would be like, okay, I'm gonna go out there and get that $3,000 camera, because we've seen like YouTubers or bloggers, they'll show some videos on YouTube. We're like, oh shoot, I gotta have that $3,000 camera because it takes nice pictures. What would your be advice for somebody starting out? Would you focus on learning the concept of the how to shoot pictures, or focus on getting better equipment? What's one thing that you would tell any beginner out there?
Well, I often get told, you know, after we take a picture and the client is surprised of the image quality that was produced, mm-hmm. they tend to say, you know, that's a great camera.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's not the camera.
It's the person.
That's one of the many tools that... that you need to develop a great shot. Uh-huh. But like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, it's really the getting the client to relax, uh-huh. having a reasonable amount of knowledge with the camera and the lighting.
Yeah.
And it's really just trying to learn from not necessarily having the best equipment, mm-hmm. but having decent equipment decent equipment could be, you know, you could go to any camera store or you know, Best Buy or whatever it may mm-hmm. be, and pick up an average camera.
Yeah.
And really, once you start to learn that camera, you can really take your skills to another level.
So when you first started out, how did you start out with a camera? What kind of camera did you get? And was it like... professional type, or was it just like the Canon Rebel, or what was the first choice?
My camera of choice is Canon. I've always used Canon. Uh-huh. And it just as I progressed, yes, I wanted a whether it was a faster camera or a camera that had decent file sizes, uh-huh. more megapixels.
Yeah.
But right now what I shoot with is a Canon camera, and then I also use Profoto for lighting.
Uh-huh.
If I want constant lighting, I also have a kit that is it's called the Flex Kit, made by Westcott. I use to capture the images, I use what's called Capture One.
Okay. So... I believe when I first came in to get a headshot photography from you, you were talking about your sister doing some like wedding planner, things like that. And that you and your sister partner up, and that took off your photography business. How did that business relationship kind of convince you that, okay, I want to be a full-time photographer now?
Well, when I left the police department, My sister had an opportunity, and we became agents for a bridal company, Maggie Sotero, based out of Utah. And our territory is everything south of the border, Mexico, Central, South America. So by becoming wholesale reps for Maggie Sotero, it allowed me to also develop my photography business, which was had always been a hobby, but now I turned it into a side business that is really starting to take off.
So you got more practice and you got better and better and realized that, okay, this could take me to the next level with this opportunity that you had with your sister's wholesale event planning thing. And when did you realize that, you know what, this is it. This is my passion.
Oh, I've always had the passion of photography. Ever since my my mom bought me, I think I was 10 years old, she bought me a Kodak 110 camera.
So what made you decide to become a police officer instead of photographer at the early age?
Just, you know, you watch TV shows and you either become a fireman, a policeman, and then that's what kind of sparked an interest. And I followed it, and by all means, I, you know, I had a great time, and it was, you know, great memories. But at the back of my mind, you know, I've always wanted to be a photographer. And as a matter of fact, when I was working as a police officer, there were many times where I was called. One occasion, I was asked to fly in Fresno County helicopter Eagle One to take photo crime scene photos of an incident that took place.
So you have fun.
So it was it was fun.
Yeah, that's cool right there. So so anyways, I always wanted to ask you, like, when you do headshot photography, what is a challenge that sometimes it's like, well, I can't even do this, but is there any challenges or that you have doing headshot? What kind of challenges are there?
It just depends on, you know, as a photographer, the challenge is making sure the client is 100% satisfied with the images. Okay. You know, my goal is, to make sure he or she is going to be proud of the images, and they're going to walk out and, happy the fact that, you know, this may be one of the best pictures that they've ever taken. And they're going to be prideful when they share it on their website or share it on their business cards, or, you know, maybe even if it's a dating profile, you know, they want to be able to, you know, show their personality. And what I think one of the biggest challenges is bringing out that personality from within. And that really takes, it's part of a skill set, I guess you can call it,
of course,
to bring that out. And it really, it's building the rapport within the, within that short time span, of earning their trust, building that trust. And, it, you know, it's projecting that, that confidence, not only within yourself, but also extracting it from them.
Cause back then when I was doing tattoos still, when I first started doing tattoos, I was going towards like the money. I said, I gotta make money. So I didn't focus on the art. So then until like maybe 3-4 years later, I realized that, you know what, the money will come when you become an artist. So comparing to your situation, at the beginning you were just taking photos, but then when did you realize, you know what, this is just more than taking pictures, this is an art form? At what age and when did it come to your mind saying, you know what, this is deeper than just taking pictures?
I would say within the last 3 years, I was a photographer before. I used to shoot sports. Then I would shoot, you know, I would be a second shooter for a wedding and or portraits or high school seniors. And then when I realized the importance of having one specialty, and that specialty in my case is headshot photography. When I developed that one niche, that is when I wanted to really focus on what can I do, how do I go about not just being a photographer, but trying to be the best photographer that can develop a sense of trust with my clients.
Well, that's a very good topic right there, the niche. Because everywhere I go, when I talk to successful people, they always tell you. Yeah, at the beginning, you could do whatever, try to find your skill set. And then once you find your skill set, then you have to have that niche. And that's going to take you to the next level. And since you brought that up, going back to my tattoo, I didn't really get the high-end clientele or that income that I wanted until I figured out, okay, doing Japanese art is my niche. And then after I learned the Japanese art, did a lot of research, actually read about it and practiced it, that's when my Japanese art really took off and I started attracting high-end clientele that will fly in for tattoos. So going back to your headshot, so what made you decide that, you know what, headshot is going to be your niche? Who convinced you and why that field?
I took a course. I knew that, you know, I wanted to focus on headshots.
Yeah.
One, it's you're dealing with the majority of the time it's business professionals that need, whether it's lawyers or doctors or realtors, real estate agents, mm-hmm. that, you know, specialize in, you know, presentation. Is by developing this niche, then it really takes it to another level. Mm-hmm. And then in order for me to take it to a level to where people would see the difference between a photographer that is more of a generalist, mm-hmm. That shoots everything versus a photographer that has a specialty, mm-hmm. then by doing that, it's what made me decide was to go in that direction was taking a course with Peter Hurley.
Yo, okay.
Peter Hurley is one of the very well-known, very famous headshot photographer based out of New York City.
Yeah, after I came and got my headshot, he told me about Peter Hurley, and I went and Googled him. I said, wow, his YouTube videos are awesome, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, the way he coaches his subject to pose and everything, I'm like, wow. Went from double chin to no chin. Went from the lighting. Like, it's just amazing. So what did Peter Hurley do that convinced you, okay, this is the guy. This is what I want to do.
There's several things. Throughout the 3-day course, mm-hmm. We were talking about lighting. We were talking, mm-hmm. about trying to bring out that personality. Peter Hurley is very well known for, as a matter of fact, this one analogy is that when you first meet a client, you have to take that connection as a small thread.
Mm-hmm.
That thread can easily be broken. Well, mm-hmm. you want to develop that thread in order to earn, by building that trust, mm-hmm. you want to make that thread into a string.
Wow,
the string is a little bit stronger,
yeah.
but it's still very fragile.
Yeah.
And then you develop that thread, and this is in the course of working with each client,
mm-hmm.
is this thread now becomes a rope.
Wow.
Rope is a little bit stronger, but by the end of the session, we want to make that rope, and I think this is how it happened with us, is because we became, you know, good friends.
Yeah.
But that rope then turned into a chain.
Mm-hmm.
A chain is obviously much stronger,
mm-hmm.
and you know now you have my confidence. I know that you're going to have my best interest, and I'm going to have your best interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is also, you know, my clients aren't customers; they're clients, mm-hmm. because I want to be able to build that connection.
Them. Okay, we're going to go on a quick commercial break, and then when we get back, we're going to dig deeper into Hector's photography journey. So if you haven't tuned yet, tune in and learn from the professional headshot photographer, Hector Cavazos, and we'll be right back.
Chúa tuôn lần dùng diện đời cô Ê Chúa cũng lòng xìa nó giá mù Ư nhua khuất đi Yà lì lù ba tớ chìa Cả tớ xin mùa cú chìa Dì thâu công mù Jong li ilu bao tư khoa ta Trình chua đau ya Wa ư tư chi tao qua Sa nhớ gì
Okay, welcome back to Multicultural 1600 AM. Today, my name is Tua, and my guest today is Hector Cavazos, a professional headshot photographer here in Fresno, California. So, Hector, before we take a commercial break, we're talking about Paul Hurley, right? Is it Peter?
Peter
Hurley. And you took his class over for 3 days. And what was one thing that you learned from him that's essential to be a headshot photographer?
Getting the client to relax.
Okay.
Yeah, that I think that would be
the most important thing.
One of the most important things, because getting that level of relaxation and building that trust during the session will either make or break the shot.
Okay. Yeah, because when I came there, I was very nervous until a few shots later when you showed me, okay, you know, I actually look okay. You know, so that kind of made me feel more comfortable knowing that you actually got the techniques to get it done right, and that made me feel comfortable. So getting people to relax, how long did it take you to learn that skill to able to get people to relax?
I think it's an ongoing skill that you constantly have to work on.
Yeah.
And you know, and not everyone is the same. It's you know, some people they can relax within, you know, minutes. Mm-hmm. And then others it could take them, you know, 20-30 minutes. That's why on my sessions what I try to do is I try not to put a time limit on it, because it's just another added stress level.
Yeah.
So depending on how long it takes them to get to that level of comfort, mm-hmm. then it's going to be easier to walk someone or guide someone through the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in your case, I remember we did a few photos without any instructions. And then I provided some instructions, and then shortly after that, I compared the two.
Yeah.
And by doing that, it was now easier for you to follow my instructions, because you could see the results, and now we're gonna refine them.
Yeah. Was that one of your techniques that you learned over the time, or was it taught to you, or how did you learn this technique?
Yeah, with Peter, we basically learned the basics, uh-huh. and the last thing I want to do is, mimic or copy exactly what he's doing. Is I want it to be my style,
your style, yeah.
and with his guidance and develop it to what my clients would need, or how helpful it would be for them, but it's a skill set that you work on, and each client is different,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's more of a challenge, and I like the challenging ones.
You have any horror stories or cool experience?
I wouldn't call it a horror story, but I would say it's more of a challenge when the client comes in and says,
I got this, right?
really, it's when they say, I don't know how to take good photos. And then my common reply is, well, perfect, because I'm the one taking the photos. I just need you to stand there. And I just joke around with them. They get a level of comfort. Uh-huh. By just, making it less stress and really working with them.
Wow, that's cool. So I know that it's very important to relax, but the next one is lighting. That's very important to you as well, right? Lighting?
Lighting is very important. Uh-huh. You want to have good lighting, whether it's you're using a lighting to illuminate the background and make it nice and white, or you're using lighting to, on men, try to have a little bit of shadow on men. Mm-hmm. And with women, it's just depending on their age. You know, they may be more sensitive to the lighting, or the lighting may enhance their, their little shadows they may have on their face.
So. Yeah, when I was there, I noticed that you have several lighting. So which lighting do you use the most? That's a general one for everyone. Because I know there's like I use a net, and then I don't even know, but you probably elaborate more about that part right there.
For general headshots, what I try to do is use the Westcott lighting. Their LED, constant LED lighting. And there's usually three or four panels, and each panel will produce the same temperature of lighting. And by adjusting these light panels, then you can see the shadows on their face. And then you introduce, you know, if you may need a hair light in the background, or if you're going to be using a white background, then you would have to either cast light onto the background so it can be reflective and cast a white background.
So how many backgrounds do you usually work with the lightings, or just depends on that day, the customer's clothing, or you already have a kind of like a mindset, right? Okay, I'm gonna use this for this person, or is it just going the flow? Or
well, what I try to do is I try to take different or photos with different backgrounds. You know, there may be a white background, there may be a kind of a goldenrod background, and then maybe a black and a gray. And then what we try to do is, or what I try to do with the client is see which background they prefer. And I try to go, you know, what is it going to be used for? Is it going to be used for a website? You know, do they want neutral colors? Or do they want, you know, even outdoors? You know, if they want to try something outdoors, then it's a totally different set of lighting.
So basically you find out what the photo is going to be used for.
Right.
So that kind of helps you decide, okay, what kind of color, what kind of background that will fit their finished product, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
it's working around the images that they envision for whatever it may be, whether it's for, let's say it's a dating, you know, their dating profile, or it's a headshot for their LinkedIn, or it's it could be a headshot for, let's say, more casual. It would be there for their Facebook or something. Or their email signature.
So different backgrounds for different situations then.
Exactly. And for men, what I try to do is, you know, I want to make sure they have, you know, a suit and tie, and then, you know, we go over the color schemes, and then after that, we do more of a relaxed session to where maybe they just have the jacket on and no tie, and that could be used for, you know, something other than LinkedIn. You know, you want to come across as professional, but yet approachable.
Okay. Yeah. Since this podcast here is about committing to the process, when you were first doing using lightning, I know lighting is hard. Cause I've seen some people try to do some lighting. It was very the balance is off and it doesn't look right. What was your like basically when you first started doing it? What was your challenges? What frustrated you, and how did you overcome that and to become professional?
Well, what I would recommend for a photographer who's getting into photography is when you are adjusting your camera settings, you always want to find out, you know, do you want the background, whether, you know, to make it simple, do you want a blurry background or do you want a crisp background?
I see.
And then once you determine on which how in focus you want the background, then you can go into, am I shooting during the day or am I shooting at night, or, you know, is the sun going down? Well, you're going to need to increase the ISO on the camera. And then from that point forward, then you would be dealing with the shutter speed. And the shutter speed is then, do you want to allow more light in or do you want to allow less light in? And the longer the shutter is open, the more light is coming in. The faster the shutter is taking place, the less light is.
Did you mess up a lot back then?
I did.
Any stories where you did a photo shoot and you went back to your office and like, oh, I messed up a lot. You had to redo it again?
I'm fortunate enough to say that I haven't messed up that bad. What I try to do is make sure that we are close as possible in camera.
Yeah.
And then I can adjust it with Photoshop or bring up the exposure a little bit or bring it down. But I am reviewing my images on scene. Usually when I do a photo session outdoors is I have my laptop camera. I'm sorry, my laptop there. And my camera is shooting wirelessly to the laptop.
Oh, okay.
and then we can review the images on site. So as long as we try to get it as close as possible in camera, it helps us when we do the post-production, that is, you know, through Photoshop.
As for backup, have you ever lost any photos in the, you know, in your memory card, any kind of situation like that? And what would you recommend at that time?
I've heard of horror stories as far as...
but not to you yet, right?
No. I'm going to have to knock on wood on this one.
yeah.
But not yet. Yeah, and I'm trying to do everything possible to prevent that from happening. For example, when I go and I do a session, what I try to do is have a memory of or a routine, I should say, of if I'm going to leave my camera in my vehicle, I'm going to take the cards with me.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, you never want to leave your equipment and your cards in the vehicle, because if for some reason something happens and someone breaks into your vehicle and they take all your equipment, well, now they just taken the cards. So equipment can replace, but the photos cannot, especially if it's you know, headshots. Yeah, we could just make another session.
Yeah.
But for a photographer that is, you know, shooting weddings or it's you know, bar mitzvah or whatever it may be,
that
only happens once, then it could be a big problem.
Yeah, I had some friends that were in that situation too, weddings, and it was not fun to call the client and say, "Hey, I lost your photos."
Right. Yeah.
That's when you have insurance, right?
Yes. Yeah. You have to.
They can call me for that one right there.
Yeah, because it would be very difficult to reenact that
that situation,
the wedding or that special event that it only happens once.
Yeah, that's true. So, what type of clothing do you recommend when you do like a photo shoot like this for headshots for men and women? I mean, I guess you could say the difference between indoor and outdoor. You know.
Well, it's what I would recommend is not having busy patterns.
Okay.
Whether it's
on the clothes, right?
On the clothes, yeah. Whether it's a dress or a blouse or you know, a jacket, a shirt for men, a busy pattern, it would really takes away from the photo.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away. It draws attention, and the last thing you want to do is draw attention towards, say, a blouse that has a busy pattern, or maybe long earrings. You know, I would recommend. Females to have maybe stud earrings versus earrings that are touching the shoulder. Because then again, it's drawing attention to those earrings.
Wow.
And we don't want to promote the earrings.
Yeah.
We want to promote
the person
within the image, the subject.
Uh-huh.
That way, they can, you know, especially if it's for a business or LinkedIn business card.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a little break, and we come back with a little dig a little deeper. And this time, we're going to talk about some fun stuff. All right. Welcome back to Multiculture 1600 AM. I'm your host, Tua, and my special guest today is Hector Cavazos, a professional headshot photographer in Fresno, California. But he can travel anywhere and take care of you if your corporate or business needs headshot photography. If you're still here tuning in, I would like to say thank you for tuning in today, listening to my show. I'm here every Tuesday from 1 to 2, and the talk show consists of bringing on professionals to talk about extraordinary stories. So, Hector, well, thank you for coming out today. So now we know what you do. Let's talk about committing to the process, like your process of becoming a photographer. At one point, did you ever feel like quitting, and what kept you keep on going and become to do what you do?
Yeah, I think everyone has a struggle.
Yeah.
And it's okay to embrace those struggles. And I think if you're not having a struggle, then you're not applying yourself hard enough. Yeah. And it's overcoming those struggles, learning from either friends, other colleagues, other mentors, and redefining your passion. So struggles, I think they're welcome. It just makes you a better person, and it also redefines exactly what you want to focus on.
So what were some of the struggles that you had while on this journey?
One of the struggles I would say is really projecting your image to where it's your brand. Okay. And once you have that brand, and you've developed it, you've worked it to a point where it's noticeable, and they can say, you know, I know who took that photograph, based on the lighting or the style, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Then that struggle then, you know, could become something else. You know, it goes into, okay, now I want to, you know, acquire more clients.
So it didn't come overnight. It took some time.
You have to be patient, and and you also have to be, I think, provide consistent results to make sure that the clients are happy. With the end result, and that is that, you know, they're gonna be, you know, asked, you know, where did you get your photograph taken, or who did your headshot, or whatever it may be.
At one point, did anybody tell you, say, oh, you did it wrong, but inside you knew that it was right, and you just kept on following your dreams? Did you have any of those moments too? Or?
Yeah, I think it's common, especially nowadays, you know, people voice their opinions on...
especially social media, huh?
Right, social media, or, you know, you get the thumbs down, or or you get a thumbs up, and, you know, there's that ratio... But I try not to focus on that. Yeah. I try to, you know, people will say, you know, you should charge more, or, you know, and my thing is, it makes me happy to realize and see firsthand that someone is walking away with, you know, one of the best pictures that they've ever taken.
Yeah,
that's going to help them in their career.
Yeah.
So I try to not focus on
the negative stuff.
The negatives, and really, if my client is 100% satisfied and is going to share that with other clients, then it is it's a win-win, and I don't pay attention to what other negatives may be.
So, did you have a mentor while you were doing this, or no?
Yes, I've had, and I still have a mentor. I'm still learning photography. And I want to continue learning photography because I want to be better.
Yeah.
And I speak with other photographers on a regular basis. I share ideas. Mm-hmm. I also try to learn maybe different lighting techniques, different styles of using technology, whatever it may be, to make it easier for me.
Yeah.
But I still take photography courses.
Oh, okay, it's an ongoing lesson then.
An ongoing lesson, you don't want to become stagnant. You want to develop your. I don't want to say you have to be in the trend, but I think you should embrace the trend and maybe change it to your style or your liking.
With so much technology these days, with like Lightroom and softwares out there, Do you see that as a threat to your skills, or because you know every industry there's always like a new technology or a new trend that kind of wakes you up and say, you know what, I gotta stay focused. You know, is there anything like that in your particular journey right now? Or
well, with the improvement of, you know, iPhone cameras, you know, the technology is there. It's
everyone's a photographer now, right?
Everyone's a photographer, you know. But to really take that to another level, you know, a business, let's say a group headshot or for a corporation, I don't think they're gonna hire someone that, you know, that's going to be taking photos with their iPhone. You know, they want to be able to control the lighting. They want to be able to look at, you know, maybe, you know, the file size isn't big enough to make any adjustments or to, you know, do any edits. So with an iPhone, even though it's a great camera, it's still limited. But when you have a professional taking the photographs, then you can either have consistent lighting in the background, you can have a certain look that they're after. And as of now, I don't know if you can attach a remote that would go on top of the camera onto an iPhone to control lighting. So you're limited, but you know, there's amazing photographers that use iPhones and video, and more power to them.
If you can go back in time and what would you do differently in this field here? Because, you know, like, if I can go back in time, I would say focus on one niche sooner. And it's, so maybe.
I don't think, to answer your question, I don't think I would change anything. Because everything that I've done in the past has gotten me to where I am today. And I'm thankful that at one point I was a police officer and I learned from that. And now I am a photographer that really has a passion for the industry, and it's really made me who I am today. And I embrace the fact that I have a lot of work experience under my belt, but at the same time, I want to take it to another level.
So basically, all the failures or mistakes made you who you are.
So yeah, I think failing is great because it makes you become a better person. And if you make a mistake and you, if you're able to change that mistake into a positive and learn from it, then that mistake was very well worth it.
Yeah, interesting. So going back to the beginners again, what is one thing you see on Facebook or looking at people's portfolio and their mistake for beginners? What's one advice would you give them if you could? You know, say, hey, you know, maybe better lighting or better equipment that you see is very common in the beginners.
I think the lighting and equipment is more of a technical.
Yeah.
And I think people should focus more on not being so technical by having maybe the best equipment or maybe the best lighting or or the best mentor. I think they should focus on really what makes them happy. And because if you are happy by providing a level of headshots, or in my case, headshots, but a level in photography, and you're really happy with it, then I think that's what people need to really embrace.
Oh, okay.
The technical is always going to be there. I mean, you know, I would love to buy another set of lights. Do I need it? No. You know, or another, you know, upgrade to the latest version of a Canon camera. But I think... It's just really developing your skills.
So the passion will develop your skills.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Let focus less on technical and more on creativity. And that creativity is it's what makes you separate from the other photographers.
So basically every morning when you wake up, you're like, okay, I got to commit to this, commit to that. What's one thing that you commit to every morning that, like a ritual? It could be waking up and exercising, or what's one thing that, or a few things that you do that's a ritual or a habit that creates your success?
Well, the first thing I do when I wake up is, one, I don't look at my emails. I look at the checklist that I've written the night before.
Yeah.
And then I go through that checklist, and it could be anything from send out you know, a lead to maybe a client is requesting something that came in overnight. I'll send a response before I read any emails. And then I take time to go through my emails and then reply to any additional emails that have come in, you know, maybe in the morning. Okay. Or what I'll do is also focus on things that need to get done that day. Okay. And I'll make a list.
Are you a 4 o'clock waker or no?
No.
No?
No, I am more of a probably like 6 o'clock or so, 6:30.
Okay. That's better than me. I'm an 8 o'clock guy.
Yeah.
8 o'clock and snooze. Oh shoot, 9 o'clock, I gotta go work. Yeah, because my office is 10 to 5, that's why.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm glad to have you on the show today, man. I'm very happy that I met you and I came to your studio.
Yeah.
Took some photos and I was like, wow, you know. You're an awesome guy. You got some very good techniques that I learned that got rid of my double chin for a minute there.
Right.
I still need to go on the diet still, but then, you know, you took 50% off.
Yeah. We worked on it.
So.
But one thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, for the people that are listening to this, you know, if you could send me or find me on LinkedIn at Hector Cavazos Photography. I'm on LinkedIn. And also, if you send me a message, I'll send you a code, and it'll be $100 off your first photo session. So it's, you know, I think it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah. And then drop by and then see his studio. And if there was one more hour, we'd probably go to SEO. He's a pro on that.
Yeah, SEO. I love SEO.
Yeah, because when I was there, we were talking about photography, and it led to SEO. I was like, wow, okay. But then again, you know, be sure to hit up Hector, and your website is?
Oh, it's hcphotos.com.
Uh-huh. And you're located in downtown Fresno, right?
Downtown Fresno, 1419 M Street at the M Street Art Complex.
And your website is, you already mentioned that already, but then you could book on your website, right?
Yes. If you were to go to www.hcphotos.com, there's a couple options. You could either book a session, and then also you could book a call, and then be more than happy to share any information.
And he does call back fast. It was right away.
I that's one thing that I try to do is I answer all calls, and I try to return the calls as soon as possible.
Cool. All right. Thank you, Hector.
Thank you.
And then once again, my name is Tua, Multicultural 1600 AM, the Hmong American Hour. I'll see you guys next week. And one of my special guests is a teacher. So if you're into education, and this tune in next week.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.